You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Locked On Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. This is your host, Cody Rourke, and tonight we're going to break down the element and what we can expect with Garrett Bull's injury to his ankle. How long is he out, and when can we expect to see him back, and who's going to fill in and tackle for him while he's out? Obviously, we'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show, as well as cover the Denver Broncos injury report alongside the Buffalo Bills injury report going forward. It's going to be very exciting. I'm looking forward to it. Big matchup this Sunday in Buffalo. Thankfully, it's not December where the Denver Broncos have to travel to Buffalo and play in the snow and the blizzard and all the terrainy conditions that you have in Buffalo. Obviously, Denver's used to playing in the snow, but in Buffalo, the snow is a little bit bigger. It's a little bit deeper, and it's a little bit colder. So that's good news for the Denver Broncos. Obviously, you get to play in Buffalo early on in the season against a very talented and young Tyrod Taylor, LeSean McCoy-led Buffalo Bills team, and they have a lot of playmakers, a lot of young weapons on the offensive side of the ball, as well as the defense side of the ball. I think they're pretty stout in that regard as well. They lost to the Carolina Panthers this past week by a score of 6-3. Had a chance to win the game late. Obviously dropped a 4th-and-11 pass that would have been either a touchdown or they would have been down on the one with one timeout left. 4th-and-11. The receiver dropped it, and it was a dagger. It was a dagger to the hearts of Bills fans. And I watched that game, and you know what? I was very impressed with how the Buffalo Bills played the Carolina Panthers, who defensively, the Panthers this year, they seem to be a little bit back on par with where they were a couple years ago. And also the Buffalo Bills offense capitalized a little bit on Cam Newton's inability to convert the ball to Christian McCaffrey towards the end of the game, obviously on a third down play in the goal line. He threw it over Christian McCaffrey's head. But you have to be able to watch out for Tyrod Taylor's ability to move the ball. We're going to join Locked On Bills this week for the crossover show where we talk about the Buffalo Bills and the Denver Broncos matchup from both sides. Locked On Bills, Locked On Broncos, brought to you right here. The Locked On Podcast Network. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Broncos. And be sure to tune in, obviously, Monday through Friday, 7:30, 8 o'clock. We're live. We're on the slot. We're your primetime show for late night coverage. And when you wake up in the morning, you got to go to work. Or if you're stuck in that rush hour morning delay or the afternoon rush, or you're on your way back home from your work and you're like, you know what? The radio keeps playing the same songs. I need to listen to some sports coverage. Well, plug your phone in, obviously not while you're driving. Do it before you drive, and search for Locked On Broncos, either on iTunes or Audio Boom. And now also I've got an announcement. If you don't have Audio Boom or iTunes on your phone, what you can do on your Android or Apple devices, you can go to your app store and download iHeartRadio, because Locked On Broncos is now officially playing on iHeartRadio, one of the biggest radio networks, podcast networks out there in terms of streaming. Millions of viewers listening based on sports and criteria, and I guarantee you there's a million Broncos fans out there, and you're one of them. And that's why I appreciate you guys as listeners. We got this thing going on with the Locked On Podcast Network right now, where if you go to Locked On Broncos right now on iTunes and you leave a review and you leave your Twitter handle in the review, you will automatically be entered into the contest to where Pro Football Focus will select somebody out of the review list that leaves their Twitter handle, and you will receive a free Pro Football Focus Edge subscription valued at $39.99. You get it for free for being an avid listener, fan supporter of Locked On Broncos and the Locked On Podcast Network, delivering it right to your hands. And here in a little bit, I'm actually going to go over some Pro Football Focus stats from the Denver Broncos' big win over the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday afternoon. And I tell you what, they graded out really well. The Denver Broncos played really well, and they had a lot of guys step up and grade out pretty high. We're going to cover that in just a few moments. So, at the beginning of the show, I talked about Garrett Bull's injury and the further diagnosis that was listed by the Denver Broncos. Mike Kliss of 9 Sports News in Denver first reported that the diagnosis on Garrett Bull's ankle was a high ankle sprain and a deep bone bruise, which this was the best case scenario for the Denver Broncos, as I mentioned on yesterday's show. He will be out a couple of weeks. This is good news for the Denver Broncos. Instead of losing him for a year for what many feared to be a torn Achilles or a fractured ankle, he was only going to miss a few weeks. And the Denver Broncos have a bye coming up, which will benefit Bowles in his recovery. Obviously, with one of the best training staffs in the National Football League, you still have Greek, Antonopoulos. He's around the facility still. You got a lot of good guys in that training staff that are going to get him ready and not rush him back into recovery. So now the question is, who steps in at tackle for Garrett Bowles? And the thing that worked with the Denver Broncos is, you know, at first they put Donald Stevenson in there at tackle, and, you know, he did okay, but the Denver Broncos found a little bit more solidarity when they moved Allen Barber over to the tackle spot. He's kind of the hybrid type player, hybrid type lineman that can play both tackle and guard. So that bodes well for the Denver Broncos. You know, you got a guy going in there of Barber's stature, and you don't have to worry about, obviously, Donald Stevenson on one side and Menelik Watson on the other. So let me tell you this. The Denver Broncos tackles right now with Garrett Bowles out, if it was Donald Stevenson, the Denver Broncos, I'd anticipate many other teams would probably try to blitz the living heck out of the Denver Broncos on the E-alley, C-gap kind of area. Do a lot of twist, obviously, with the tackle and do some endo fronts. And obviously some linebacker stunts as well, which force the tackles to pick who they're going to get, who's the nearest inside threat that's going to come inside, and they're going to try to twist it up on the outside, which most NFL teams do when they're really good at blitzing. And the Buffalo Bills have a pretty solid defense from what I've observed in the first 2 weeks of football. Obviously, when you look at the Carolina Panthers, they have Cam Newton, Christian McCaffrey, and even Kelvin Benjamin, some speedy wide receivers, Greg Olsen, and they were able to play really well with them, and they had a pretty decent game plan, in my opinion. I think their young linebackers are pretty good. They fill and they flow to the dang football, and their corners are pretty solid in coverage. I do think that the Denver Broncos have to be consistent this week on offense, especially in terms of play calling, and I don't think that that's going to be an issue this year based on just the two games we've seen so far from the Denver Broncos, whereas last year, I worried every single week about the Denver Broncos coming out, and you were worrying, okay, what's the play calling going to be like? What are the schemes? Is it going to be predictable? Me, as a defensive-minded guy, I sat on my couch. I muted the TV often at times for the Broncos game last year, and I just predicted when they lined up before the ball was snapped, what I would do as a defensive coordinator and where I could attack, and teams did just that. You know, they would pinch inside the A-gap, they'd pinch their tackles, and then they'd crash their ends, and they'd have their linebackers fill and flow. And at that point, the run game was almost non-existent for the Denver Broncos, especially when C.J. Anderson got hurt, and he was out for the rest of the season after getting injured last year against the Los Angeles Chargers on the home game that they had, where Bradley Roby had the pick six, and the Denver Broncos, you know, got some revenge on the Chargers last year. But I look at teams and what they're doing, and they are trying to attack Menelik Watson, and I think that's why the Denver Broncos did a very good job this last weekend when Menelik Watson gave up the inside pressure several times, and Trevor Siemian got sacked, and he fumbled the ball, and they ended up scoring on the next, you know, play from scrimmage after the ball got placed pretty much on the inch yard line after the sack fumble. You know, Menelik Watson is having a hard time in terms of going up against pass rushers or blitzing outside backers. They do a lot of stunts that are going to confuse him, and he's just not quick enough to get his hands on somebody, ride him out. He gives up the inside and he gives up the outside, which makes him the weakest link on the Denver Broncos offensive line. So the Denver Broncos started bringing in a tight end. They brought in, obviously, A.J. Derby, sometimes Jeff Heirman, Virgil Green multiple times, and they pretty much used a tight end in there to actually help the end tackle block. They used it to help Menelik Watson in obviously pass pro and obviously in the run game as well. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's actually a good thing to overcompensate with, is when you have a tight end like Virgil Green who can block, and even A.J. Derby can block a little bit. When you bring a guy like there to help with pass pro and obviously setting up the run game, you know, you can create some balance. And I think that Denver Broncos got to go a little bit more with that until either they trade or release Menelik Watson, which I don't think is going to happen this year. I do believe if Menelik Watson continues to struggle, he will probably be out the door this offseason for the Denver Broncos. Or if he just gives up and he becomes bad enough, he keeps giving up sacks and keeps getting giving up pressure on the inside, giving the vulnerability to either the edge rusher or the outside backer. We can't have that, especially if you want to keep Trevor Siemian upright. You got to protect him from obviously the tackle position and obviously his blind side, which Garrett Bowles, I felt, did a very good job against the Dallas Cowboys. I thought he didn't give up a lot of ground and he was fierce, and you honestly didn't hear a lot of bad things, you know, going on the field and the commentary from Joe Buck, Troy Aikman on Garrett Bowles. I thought he did very well, especially in run support. In the last 2 weeks, especially against the Chargers, Garrett Bowles has this nastiness to him where he came up and he attacked the inside linebacker and he scraped across the line of scrimmage scrimmage, obviously on a pull or even just a free release to the inside backer, he gets down there and he attacks and he's nasty and he's gritty and he's determined. So obviously the Denver Broncos will miss the rookie tackle for the next couple of weeks. I expect Allen Barber to fill in, and I imagine they're going to probably move Connor McGovern maybe to guard or something. They're going to try to work something out. You never know. They even may even move Connor McGovern to center and bump out Matt Paradise to guard. I have no idea at this point, but I mean, it's even easy and evident to say that Max Garcia has struggled at the guard position, which is why Barber played ahead of him. Now you got to wonder, what do you do in this situation? You don't want to put in a guy like Donald Stevenson on your quarterback's blind side when, you know, his near side also gets exposed and also gets pressured and gives up pressure to him. Trevor Siemian's got to stay healthy this year, and it starts with the offensive line up front. I mean, we may even see a little bit more of Andy Janovic going forward, you know, a two-back, three-back set, obviously with a fullback. And I tell you what, Andy Janovic is a dang hammer. When it comes to the saying, are you a hammer or are you a nail? Andy Janovic is the hammer, and he brings it every play. He had some great blocks against Dallas. He came in and he hits guys, and he always usually attacks half a man, which as a fullback or as a blocking tailback, that's one thing your coach always emphasizes, attack half a man. That way you can get that kick out block and you force the guy to turn and your tailback reads right off your hip. And that's what they did this past week when CJ Anderson scampered in on a 45 blast play. It was absolutely beautiful execution from the offensive line and Andy Janovic and CJ Anderson as well. The run game is rolling for the Denver Broncos, and they got to keep that up. They have a balance where they're averaging over 100 yards rushing per game and just about 250 yards passing in the air, which is pretty perfect, especially when you're controlling the ball. Obviously, Trevor Siemian threw 4 touchdowns this past week against the Dallas Cowboys, 3 touchdowns in the first half. He could have had 4, but who's going to be picking? Who's going to count it? Not me. Absolutely not me. And still the next day, Skip Bayless, the national media, still didn't give the Denver Broncos an ounce of respect, but you know what? I'm okay with that because I feel like the Denver Broncos team plays absolutely phenomenal when they have everybody against them. Not one person on the NFL Network chose the Denver Broncos to beat the Dallas Cowboys this week. So I like that the media keeps overlooking the Denver Broncos. It makes them play with a chip on their shoulder, and therefore it bodes well in their favor. The media, all the pundits said that the Denver Broncos didn't have a chance in Super Bowl 50 against MVP Cam Newton. Well, guess what? Von Miller ate his lunch, and he ate it again the next year, and the Denver Broncos are going to keep eating, and it's only going to get better. You have Shaquille Barrett, you have Von Miller on the edge, and you're going to get Shane Ray back here very shortly as well from the physically unable to perform list. He'll be back probably week 6, week 7. I'm looking forward to that as well. But Denver Broncos have a bye week coming up here shortly. That gives them the perfect opportunity to rest some guys up. I imagine we won't see Garrett Bowles until probably after the bye week, and then you return. I think you play the New York Giants as well. But we get the New England Patriots coming off a bye on Sunday Night Football. So that's got to be a big game. That's a long ways away, though. I don't like looking ahead. The focus is on the Buffalo Bills. But before we get to the Buffalo Bills, let's go through the quick injury report right now. Cornerback Bradley Roby is questionable with a foot injury. It was noted today that he was walking around with a light kind of walking boot on his foot. Not sure exactly what happened. Haven't got the full story yet, but when we do, we'll update you over here at Locked On Broncos. Obviously, Jeff Heuerman came into the game, and on a pass, I believe he hurt his shoulder. He didn't really come back into the game. He's questionable for the game. Garrett Bowles, obviously, is out with that ankle injury. Benny Fowler is questionable for this game coming up after suffering a scary kind of concussion after landing on his head. Hopefully he's okay. He goes through the protocol and he clears it. Obviously, rookie cornerback Brennan Langley was out last week with a knee injury. He's questionable for this week's game. I don't know the extent. Nobody's really talked about the extent of Langley's knee injury as well. Maybe it's a knee sprain, MCL sprain. Not too sure. Quarterback Paxton Lynch is out. Zach Kerr is questionable but likely to be playing this week after getting rolled up on in the preseason. He will be a big part of the Denver Broncos run game. And obviously, when we look at it, they released Tyreek Jarrett this past week, who they had last week. They signed him, they released him, and I think it's because Zach Kerr will be back. Devontae Booker may be back at the tailback position as well. Maybe get some reps, maybe not get some reps behind Jamaal Charles. Obviously, coming off offseason hand surgery that he incurred during pretty much a portion of training camp. Jake Butt, obviously on the non-football injury list. He'll be active probably later on in the year as well. And obviously, you have Chad Kelly, who's pretty much on injured reserve. None of those guys will play, the rookie guys. But the main guys, Bradley Roby, Jeff Heuerman, Garrett Bowles out, obviously. Benny Fowler and Zach Kerr are major guys that right now the Denver Broncos got to get healthy in order to preserve the season, obviously, going forward with their health. Health is wealth, my friend. If you didn't know that, now you know. Obviously, we realize how injuries have affected a lot of NFL teams, specifically the Denver Broncos in the past. So the Denver Broncos got to get it going on that as well. So now we're going to talk about the Denver Broncos and Pro Football Focus. Like I said, if you go to iTunes right now, leave a review and leave your Twitter handle on the Lockdown Broncos review. Tell us why you love the show. Leave your Twitter handle and Pro Football Focus may select you to win a free Edge subscription to Pro Football Focus, where you get the access to key analytics, statistics, performance sheets, as well as the best statistics that can help you win fantasy football as well. So here are your top five Denver Broncos players that graded out in the top five, obviously with the performance against the Dallas Cowboys. You had on the edge, Von Miller graded out at an 89.6 overall grade, 2 sacks and countless pressures and disruptions on the offensive line of the Dallas Cowboys. CJ Anderson had an 87.7 overall grade, as well as Chris Harris Jr. in the secondary, 87.7 overall grade. And then you had Aqib Talib with an 84.3 overall grade, and Shaquille Barrett finished with an 87.3. That is very productive. Now, there were times where CJ Anderson, you know, didn't get a lot of help sometimes in the A gap and B gap. The line couldn't come off quite a bit, but a lot of the things that carried CJ Anderson into an 87.7 overall grade was the fact that he averaged a lot of yards after contact. He'd receive the ball and he'd break countless tackles. He forced 6 tackles, and then he scored obviously late in the third quarter, and then he caught a receiving touchdown as well. Trevor Siemian played pretty well. He finished with an overall pass rating of 143.9. He had an adjusted completion percentage, according to Pro Football Focus, of 88%, all 4 touchdown passes. He had a pretty good game. I guess the difference was that whether he faced pressure or not, I guess the Pro Football Focus factors in a lot of things, determining on plays that he makes under pressure, or if he gets sacked, or whether he gets hit. I think a lot of that plays into their factor. I'm still trying to figure out exactly all it entails, but I'm excited about it. The thing was that Trevor Siemian really improved on third down and converted a lot of third down plays. Obviously, the Denver Broncos completed 60% of their third down plays to advance for a first down. That's a great statistic, as the Denver Broncos were at the bottom of the league last year. I think it was like 28% in third down conversions. Well, that came in there. And then obviously, when you have two edge guys and Shaquille Barrett and Von Miller, when you look at Shaquille Barrett's overall performance, Von Miller is a difference maker. Von Miller draws so much attention that it does open up the edge game, the pressure game for guys like Shaq Barrett and Shane Ray. Shaquille Barrett didn't sack Dak Prescott this week. He sacked Phillip Rivers week one, but he did have 9 total pressures on Dak Prescott and the offense, and he led the team in defensive stops with 5 in the run game, according to Pro Football Focus. And Aqib Talib, I imagine if Aqib Talib would have came down with at least 2 of those interceptions that he dropped, his overall grade would be pretty high, but an 84.3 is a pretty dang solid grade. He had the pick 6, the 103-yard. He had 2 pass breakups. You know, he had more receiving yards than most of the Dallas Cowboys wide receivers. Dak Prescott led Aqib Talib with pass yards with 103 yards by throwing it to Aqib Talib. He's gone the other way. But Pro Football Focus is something that I've been following for the last couple of months. Really, I looked at it last year and I determined that they used it as a grading tool for players. But now I'm starting to realize just how important it is. With the age of analytics and advanced statistics and situational things, especially on quarterback pressures for edge guys and linebackers filling the run, not missing tackles, those play an important part of grading their overall performance. And that tells you a different story. Maybe things you don't necessarily see on film, or that you don't understand when you watch a game at the beginning, but when you go back and you watch the film on Game Pass, or if you have access to any of that stuff, is you can see that, okay, based on their grade, they did this. Now you can go back through and watch the game and get a determination. Okay, Pro Football Focus has some crazy analytics, and this is why this guy graded out the highest. So, like I said, go to Lockdown Broncos on iTunes, go leave a review. Tell us why you love the show. Tell us why Locked On Broncos keeps you in the loop, and why you enjoy listening, and why you're still a fan of Locked On Broncos. Like I said, you viewers are amazing. And don't forget to leave your Twitter handle in your review to be eligible for a Pro Football Focus Edge subscription valued at $39.99, but it's yours for free just by being a fan and an avid listener of the show. So before we end the show, I want to give a little shout out to the people who participated in yesterday's Broncos trivia, where the first person to get the correct answers and tweet them to me, the three trivia questions, would join me for an episode of Locked On Broncos. Well, I've got two winners. I got tweeted in the wee morning hours of 3 a.m. Okay, by @VansOnTheMoon, Newt Scamander. He said, Ron Dayne, Nick Ferguson, and Jack Williams. The question was, which Broncos running back had a huge 55-yard gain against the Dallas Cowboys back in 05 Thanksgiving? What was his name? And which Denver Broncos safety, former Denver Broncos safety, forced the pressure on Tom Brady, AFC divisional game 2005, that forced Champ Bailey to jump the route, run 99 yards for a pick, where he got knocked out of bounds at the one by Benjamin Watson? And which Denver Broncos, former Denver Bronco, was drafted in 2008? Who was it? From Kent State. It was Jack Williams, my man, my mentor, a guy who coached me up and helped mentor me at the defensive back position before suffering an ACL injury. He had to call his career short. Ironically, that's how my career ended as well. So, Newt, you are the winner, as well as my man, Scotty Coleman. Scott Coleman tweeted me the answers pretty much almost at the same time this morning as well. So I'm going to have Newt, and I'm going to have Scott Coleman at ScottyCode21. Go over there. Give those guys a follow for me, please. You can go over, obviously, Scott, at ScottyCode21. Give Scotty a follow for me, please. And then also, let's give Newt Scamander a follow at VansOnTheMoon. Like I said, thank you guys for participating in the first ever Locked On Broncos contest. Now you guys have inspired me to think about a potentially Fan Friday show where I have a fan join me on Locked On Broncos to talk about all things Denver Broncos, maybe even preview the week's game that's upcoming. You never know. But tweet me at @CodyRourkeNFL, at @LockedOnBroncos. And be sure, when you have the time, after you're done listening to me, if you want more NFL, please head over to Matt Williamson's Locked On NFL and subscribe to all the latest national news regarding the NFL and all teams across the league by Matt Williamson over at the Locked On Podcast Network. Like I said, this is your host, Cody Rourke. Good night and go Broncos.